Well, here we are, approaching a new year. How was your year? I started the year desperate to get out of Sunnyvale and move back to Los Angeles, and by April, I had successfully made it back to LA. So am I happy? Well, I think I'm happier. I hope. I will never be satisfied, I'm sure. Of course, I love Los Angeles, but I do miss being closer to my mom, so who knows, in the long run or in the short run, really, where I will end up. I had set my mind on getting back to LA and getting a decent job, and it happened. It wasn't easy, it took some time, but exactly what I wanted to happen happened. So you think I'd be happy. But anyway. Hey, and briefly, since we're approaching a new year, did you ever listen to the band The New Year? It features the Texas brothers Matt and Bubba Cadane, who were also in the pretty influential band Bedhead. The New Year is a little more user-friendly than Bedhead, but likely you will either dig or completely hate The New Year. But they have several songs I've listened to regularly for years. Their first album from 2001 is entitled Newness Ends on the venerable label Touch and Go. Check out the songs Gasoline and Alter Ego and see what you think. Okay, onward and upward.
You are my density. You are my density.
And don't you hate when people say onward and upward? Well, anyway, this has been a somewhat unhealthy and unstable year mentally for me, but I will go into 2026 with a positive outlook. It may only last a week, but fuck it, it's something. Oh, and another notable New Year's Eve-related song is from the interesting, at times corny, but pretty great live band The Dismemberment Plan from Washington, D.C., with their song The Ice of Boston from way back in 1997 off the album The Dismemberment Plan is Terrified on DeSoto Records. The Ice of Boston is a catchy song. Check it out on New Year's Eve, why don't you? It's got the memorable lyric, I woke up at 3 a.m. with the radio on, that Gladys Knight and the Pips song on about how she'd rather live in his world with him than live in her own world alone. And I lay there, head spinning, trying to fall asleep, and I thought to myself, oh, Gladys, girl, I love you, but oh, get a life. And you know, this new year, once I get my shit together, I want to do more episodes with a theme. As you have probably noticed, there's been no theme lately, just random-ass shit. And it's been a while since I've mentioned my email, so hey, markd@youaremydensity.com. That's M-A-R-C-D. Let me know what you think. I'm totally open to suggestions that I will likely ignore. You know, I love the interplay between Peter Falk and Alan Arkin, so I thought I would come up with a scene. And my Peter Falk impression completely waxes and wanes, so apologies in advance. Okay, so Alan Arkin is walking with a slight limp, and his coworker Peter Falk sees him and says, Jesus, what's the matter with you? Alan says, I'm fine, I don't want to talk about it. Peter says, okay, did you hurt your knee? Alan sheepishly says, I'm having some penis pain. Peter says, penis pain? Alan says, I'm sure it's nothing. And Peter says, you want me to take a look at it? Alan says, what? No, absolutely not. Peter says, look, just let me see it. And Alan says, okay, I'm walking away from you now. And hey, one update on the Charles Bronson lookalike Robert Bronzy movie, 12 to Midnight. Number one, there is the world's most awkward kiss between Bronzy and a woman. It is so weird and badly staged and choreographed that either they only filmed one take of this fucking scene or the other takes were somehow worse. And also, there's this ridiculous chase scene where Bronzy jumps into a tractor for some reason and slowly starts chasing some injured guy who is also moving slowly. It's like, Bronzy, babe, you can walk fucking faster than the tractor and this guy is injured. And the scene goes on for what seems like an hour. It's like a shot of Bronzy driving the tractor. Then we see the dude that Bronzy is chasing. Then we cut back to Bronzy. And so on and so on. It's ridiculous, but it did make me laugh. Okay, and I've been watching some truly weird stuff lately. Where do I begin? Okay, I watched a Christmas-themed thriller called Do You Fear What I Fear? From 2025, starring Kiara Hanna. She's likable. As a woman who leaves her old life behind and gets a fresh start in New York City, but someone is leaving messages and decorations for her. And there's a long line of suspects. Okay, first off, this is a Lifetime movie, guys, so I wasn't expecting much. And I didn't get much, to be honest. I mean, it's pretty good looking, and the first half is entertaining enough, but it loses momentum, and the ending is just kind of blah. But then again, it's a Lifetime movie. I do think it was worth watching, though. I was just hoping for a more intense climax. I mean, aren't we all just looking for a more intense climax? Okay, guys, I'm really starting to watch some weird shit lately, so I watched Kicking It Old School from 2007 with Jamie Kennedy. As a kid who's like a breakdancer in school, then he hits his head, ends up in a coma for 22 years, and he wakes up and decides to reunite his old crew to try and win a dancing contest and hopefully win back his long-lost love from childhood. Yes, this movie is ridiculous, but I did laugh quite a bit. I mean, it's not great, but if you're in the mood, it does the trick. And the always welcome Christopher McDonald, mentioned last week in The Rich Man's Wife, plays Jamie Kennedy's dad, and he has some totally great line deliveries. Also, a younger ex-Mad TV Bobby Lee is really funny in this. He plays off a bunch of, like, you know, old Asian stereotypes. And there's a scene where Jamie Kennedy is upset, and they're all eating at a restaurant, and Jamie starts sticking his hand in like a chocolate cake and throwing it around, saying his life is like a shit cake that nobody wants. He's throwing cake all around and getting, you know, kind of out of control, and his friends try to get him to chill out. And then Bobby Lee says, "Your analogy is tenuous at best." And I rewound that scene a couple times just to hear that line again. Tenuous at best. I mean, I've always loved that for some reason. And there's just a classic rap song I grew up on in this movie. It's Set It Off by Big Daddy Kane from his 1988 album Long Live the Kane. I still remember this damn cassette tape I had of this album. I mean, everything was better in 1988, trust me. And okay, I watched the indie horror cop thriller The Beast of Trinity, Texas from 2025 with a largely no-name cast. It's about, yes, my favorite, an alcoholic sheriff and a tale of power, greed, murder, and Bigfoot. Yes, you heard that right. The cast is likable. I mean, it's a slow-burn film. It's a bit too long, but this damn movie kind of charmed me. It feels very local, very indie, which is just nice to see these days. I love when people get together and put all their resources together and shoot a movie. It's just kind of old school. These guys made a movie because they had the drive and the desire, not necessarily to get rich or anything. So kudos to all involved. And what else? Oh yeah, I watched a fairly wholesome Christmas drama comedy set in England called Tinseltown from 2025 with Kiefer Sutherland, who's in on the joke, playing a somewhat unlikable, washed-up action movie star whose agent sets him up with a part in a small pantomime pageant in a little English village. It's predictable and old-fashioned, but I got into it. There's some genuine laughs, it's well-cast, and it has a touching character played by the formidable actor Derek Jacobi. And okay there, I have found a way to wrap up this episode. Derek Jacobi was in the great biopic of the tormented British painter Francis Bacon entitled Love is the Devil, Study for a Portrait of Francis Bacon. Okay, I am sorry for that pretentious title. And the film is quite arty, but hey, it works. Derek Jacobi plays a vicious yet charismatic Francis Bacon, and Daniel Craig is quite good as George Dyer, who is a not-too-bright thief who became Francis's lover. George Dyer later overdosed on alcohol and barbiturates at a hotel room in Paris at the age of 36 on October 24, 1971, just 2 days before a major retrospective of Francis's Bacon work was showing at the Grand Palais, whatever. George Dyer was immortalized as the subject of several Francis Bacon paintings, so check some of those out. But finally, in closing, there's a great line spoken by Derek Jacobi as Francis Bacon in the film, and while some attribute the quote to Bacon, it's actually a toast dating to at least the 19th century. The quote is an example of an anti-metabole. What? Which is a repetition of words in successive clauses, but in a transposed order, like, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, or all crime is vulgar, just as all vulgarity is crime. And of course, the really biggie, with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Thank you, Snoop Dogg. But anyway, back to the Francis Bacon film. The quote, and this is appropriate for a New Year's Eve toast, and I'm sure I have mentioned this before as well, but here it is, and Happy New Year. Champagne for my real friends. Real pain for my sham friends.